The sermon scripture is found in the book of Acts, chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. Repent, then, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. This is God's word.
I know that some of you read up on church ministry because some of you send me some emails periodically about the wider church and some of the inner workings of the church and those kind of things. And there's this great dilemma out there within the church about live stream, and that live stream should stop so people come back to worship. And when I get into those conversations, I like to lift up that St. John's has been offering a radio ministry since the 1970s, and that there are countless people around that listen to that. I was reminded of that when Lynn had started her treatment. The first time we went to the infusion center, there was a couple in the room, and I said one sentence, and the gentleman recognized me by my voice. And it's just, ooh, wow, people do listen, and I had no clue who that individual was. Well, this week I got a call from somebody that live streams, and just that reminder of those ministries that we provide reach countless people. And for whatever the situation might be, whether it's radio or live stream, the word is out there. And I think about that when I try to do some interaction with the congregation, and especially on a topic like today, because we're going to look at Acts 3 a little bit, and we're going to talk about beggars. And, you know, being redeemed and restored, it's not just us here that are gathered in worship, but it's those that are listening, those that are watching, that we also have great care for. Now, I'm sure there are people that have traveled a lot more than I have, but in my little scope of the world, you come to a bigger city, and I've seen this in Wasian. I was trying to rack my brain to see if I've ever seen someone standing on the corner in Archbold with a cardboard sign saying, "Please help." You know, they're looking for donations. They can't find a job. They're sick, whatever. But you've seen those people, hopefully, hopefully you see that for the purpose of this sermon. And when you see somebody and they're holding that up and they want you to give, what are you thinking? I mean, is there a sense of compassion? Is there a sense of sympathy? Or is it judgment? Why don't they go get a job with the time and those kind of things? And part of the reason that I look for those people is to test my spirit. The greatest sense of begging that I have experienced has been in Tijuana, Mexico, when we would go down there on those mission trips. For some unknown reason, we always had to go down to downtown Tijuana, and I thought it was always to get authentic Mexican food, but it was also to explore the culture. In my interactions with people begging, either on the corner or you're parked in your vehicle at the stoplight and they come up and they have their hand out. And, you know, just that sense of why, what's going on? And I'd love to know the backstory for many of them. And instead of being hard-hearted and judgmental, I want us to think about the ministry that we can offer in those kind of situations. I've recently, I still volunteer and work with Habitat for Humanity in Fulton County, and we recently had a couple falsify an application, and we worked with them, and all of a sudden, we found out the truth, and we had to interact with this couple. And there were some consequences that were happening because of the falsification of the application, but yet, 2-3 weeks after, I'm still having these thoughts of compassion and sympathy and understanding. We can't just let those partners go. We have to still interact with them because that's what Scripture calls us to do. Now, I'm talking about those kind of situations because of what we're going to read in Acts chapter 3. If you follow along in your Bible, I've left out some of the verses or some of the words to try and make this more of a dramatic reading to focus in on what Peter and John had been about, and more importantly, what God was doing through Peter and John. So, Acts chapter 3. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the afternoon time of prayer. A man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When the beggar saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. And Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. The man jumped to his feet and began to walk. And then he went into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to the man. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished, and they came running to them. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us if by our own power or godliness that we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. Jesus, who you handed over to be killed, and you disowned before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that this, his Christ, would suffer. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that a time of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus." Peter and John wanted to have this interaction with this man. They looked him in the eye and they wanted his attention. So when you see someone that might have a cardboard sign or someone that you can tell is in need or asking for something, you have an opportunity for ministry. Can't just drive by in a car. Can't just run by when you're out exercising. You can stop and you can talk. And yes, there is the thought that you might get taken advantage of, but all you have to do is start to talk. Because as followers of Jesus Christ, you have his power within you. Now, you have to have wisdom. You have to have moments of discernment. Not too many weeks go by that we have not received calls for assistance. And when I hear what's going on, I try to do some follow-up. The one this last week, I got to actually talk to the landlord and learned a little bit more about the situation. But if I have been taken advantage of by one person, I don't let that skew me against anybody else that might be calling. I try to view every situation as unique and different and a possibility to offer ministry to people. And so as we look at what Peter and John did, they made it very personal, and they did not give the person what he was after, They gave him something that was greater. It wasn't about the physical, it was about the spiritual. And when the crowds of people, and I trust the man himself, experienced the healing and he started jumping around, there was this wonder and there was this amazement. And I have experienced that as well. Not a physical healing, but a healing in life situations. And it is amazing, the hope that is offered, the reality of this was not Pastor Eric, this was not St. John's, this was the Lord himself has met me and dwelled with me and brought me out of my situation. And they've gone on to lead a blessed life. But they were attracted by this miraculous healing. And Peter, he took advantage of it. As the people gathered together and were exclaiming over what had happened, Peter reminded them of what had happened in verses 13 through 18. I mean, Peter's bold with them. He reminds them what they did to Jesus. And maybe it wasn't those individuals, but maybe some of their friends and ancestors had actually been there. Or maybe they were there themselves, where they had cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." And they watched Jesus die on the cross. And as Peter and John were bold with this man and honest with the crowd, then in compassion, in verse 19, what Brad read for us, Peter and John share what has to happen. Repent then and turn to God. Repent then and turn to God. I want you to think about that time when you've been the beggar, when you've been the crippled person, when you have been in that situation where you need help. And if you were in those situations, how did people reach out to you? How did they encourage you? And why? We have those opportunities in our lives. We have those opportunities all around us. And for those who have been given much, much is expected. Much is expected. And so we have to have this frame of mind as Peter and John did. They had this experience and they responded in the love and through the grace of Jesus Christ. And sometimes we are fearful of stopping and talking because we don't know what to say and do. That's when we pray. That's when we remember the promise that the Spirit will speak on our behalf. But it's about opportunity. And Peter and John, they took advantage. They made the most of this opportunity. And they talked about forgiveness and redemption and restoration. Forgiveness. Can you think of anybody? Are you aware of someone in your life that you have been unable to forgive up to this point? Someone that has hurt you, someone that has done something, someone that has said something, and you have not been able to forgive them. As a follower of Jesus Christ, we are called to forgive. As a follower of Jesus Christ, we are given the tools of what's needed to forgive. Is there someone you have been unable to forgive? What do you think of when you pray the words, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors"? Or do you put in the real word, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us"? Jesus calls us to look at the person. And it may be extremely uncomfortable for us. But if we expect God to forgive us, we have to forgive one another. So continue to pray for that wonder of forgiveness in your life and in the other person's life. Because Jesus looks at the person. He doesn't focus in on the exterior. He looks at a person's heart. When Jesus looks at the exterior, I think of the paralyzed man in Mark chapter 2. That man who four friends brought to see Jesus, and the house was so crowded, Jesus couldn't get in, or the friends couldn't get him in to see Jesus, so they climbed up on the roof, up the steps, and tore the roof apart and lowered him down. And did Jesus say, "Be healed"? He says, "No, in belief, your sins are forgiven." Jesus was focused on the inner, not on the exterior. And then Jesus, in his wisdom, he knows what some of the people are wondering and questioning. And so he goes on in Mark chapter 2 in verses 9 through 12, which is easier, to say to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven," or to say, "Get up, take your mat, and walk"? Which is easier to say? I can tell anybody your sins are forgiven, but is it true? I don't know what's going on in that person's heart. But it's much harder to say to somebody, "Get up, take your mat, and walk," because you're going to see proof of when that happened. So it's easier to say and harder to do. What does Jesus do? He says, "Your sins are forgiven," and then he does the hard stuff, and he heals the man. If Jesus can do the hard, he can do what's easier, because Jesus can do it all. In the name of Jesus, Jesus has the power and the authority of all creation. He has the power to forgive sin. He has the power to heal us, both physically and spiritually. That is why he died on the cross. He suffered and died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins and the redemption of us, his people. Redemption and restoration. And in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10, the aspect of that remembering how Jesus redeemed us. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Met with a family recently that their young daughter wants to be baptized. And in that baptism, she wants to be baptized. Of course she knows who Jesus Christ is. But we still ask the question, do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Because you have to confess that with your mouth, according to Scripture. Jesus is Lord. And for right or wrong, I'm going to say that's the easy part. The hard part is to believe in your heart. And that's between you and the Lord. You have to believe in your heart. Now, there are ways to tell the strength of your belief on how you live and how you act and how you love. But Jesus has that power. The promise of salvation, the promise of redemption and restoration, to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. Remember through Acts chapter 3, Peter and John, they helped the man who was begging. They healed him through the power of Jesus Christ. And that power is available for us as well. And as Peter interacted with the crowd, he was bold with them. He told them what they had done to Jesus. And it wasn't just what the people back then had done to Jesus. We're involved in that because we are human as well. And Peter took advantage of that opportunity to testify. He was a witness of the faith that Jesus Christ offers. And because of their faith, that man was made strong. And then Peter calls them to repentance and to come back to God. We are in the season of Lent, season of 40 days. Of being called to repentance and coming back to God, turning to God. each and every moment. And the reality and the journey of Lent is to make that a consistent habit in our life, to repent and turn to God always. That's why Jesus died on the cross, as we read from Acts chapter 3. Repent and turn to God. He offers that redemption through Jesus Christ. And we must accept his power of forgiveness. There is nothing that he can't help us overcome, that we can be spiritually alive, ready to worship every moment of our life, redeemed and restored. Let's pray. Gracious Lord God, we do thank you for the truth and the power of your word. And yet we also know in everyday, ordinary situations of life, it can be much more difficult. So Lord, I pray that you infuse us with your spirit and the power and the authority of Jesus Christ, that as we go out to minister, as we go out to be friends, as we go out to share the gospel, Lord, may we go know that we go in your light and in your love, as we thank you for your light and love in our life. In Christ we pray, amen.
The Lord has blessed us with many things. We now have an opportunity to give back a portion of these blessings to further his missions. Mother Teresa once said, "It's not how much we give, but how much love we put into giving." I invite the ushers forward to receive our morning offerings. Gracious God, use this money and all that we have for the building up of your work in this church and the wider world for your glory. Amen.
I can't think of a topic that has had more ink spilt over it than the topic of redemption and forgiveness. We'll never be able to sing all the hymns written on it. We'll never be able to read all the books or hear all the sermons or hear all the poems or see all the artwork based on what Jesus has done for us. And so instead of giving you an endlessly long statement of faith, I thought about using a scripture that we already heard this morning, how salvation comes to us. So read with me the statement of faith.
We believe that if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, we will be saved. Believing with the heart results in righteousness. Confessing with the mouth results in salvation. Everyone who believes on Jesus will not be put to shame.
We've heard about light, we've heard about redemption and restoration, and Jesus is a connection for all of that. At our 8 o'clock service, we sung the hymn Amazing Grace, and although we're not singing that hymn, we're singing Grace Like Rain, but it does have the words to Amazing Grace in the song. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. After Grace Like Rain, we will sing number 521 in the hymnal, which will also be on the overhead, Redeemed. And following the spoken benediction, we're going to sing the Lord's Prayer, It's Yours.
Thank you.
go forth redeemed through the peace of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who promises us his love and his peace. Amen.